This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey Alarmy, before we get started, we wanted to make sure you heard the big news. The Alarmist has joined Patreon. Patreon subscribers will get access to our content ad-free, as well as our Aftermath post-interview discussion and final verdict. We'll also be putting out additional bonus episodes and other fun stuff. Here's a preview of Guest Alarmist, where I step aside and let a guest walk us through a personal tragedy, and together the Alarmist crew figures out who's to blame. This month, Leah Poliott discusses the sisterhood of the traveling disaster.
But I do want to say, it's like, what always happens too is that, like, you have these, like, you know, destinations you want to go to, but then something always happens along the way. There's always magic involved.
Yeah, it's the magic.
What's such the bummer is that Leah and Sarah didn't get to kind of find those pockets of magic in their
travels. We don't know. Was there a magical moment, even though all this chaos was going on, that you guys think about, like, with fond memories?
There were some ravioli that we had when we first got into France.
That's great.
And... that is still magical in my heart.
Great.
It was the only place open from before dinner. We got in. It was like 3 or 4 at a weird time. Nobody was at this restaurant. Best ravioli I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh,
that's
I'm
great.
So happy for you.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now on to our episode. Each week we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with guest expert Thomas Ackerman. Thomas is a professor in the Department of Film at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. He was also the director of photography on National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, among many other classics, including Beetlejuice, Jumanji, Dennis the Menace. Let's hear what he has to say about the film. Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Rebecca. Nice to be talking to you.
We're so excited to have you on the show. I mean, it's not often that we get to talk to someone who is been directly involved in the making of the movie that we're discussing. So can you tell us about your experience making the film? How did you get involved?
Well, like most things that happen in the movie business, what you do is often, it's usually an offshoot of what you've done before. Your agent will have captured a certain kind of momentum, or you'll have a personal relationship with the filmmaker. And so in this case, I would say all those were responsible for my eventually doing Christmas Vacation. I should point out, actually, yeah, in that respect, I had already done one movie for John Hughes, Dennis the Menace, which had been done 1 year before, maybe 2 years before. And John is a very loyal person, and he's also an opinionated filmmaker, so that when he feels like he's in the groove with a particular person, be it an actor or a director or a cinematographer, he seemed to like to continue and exploit that.
Well, that, I mean, wonderful. Dennis the Menace, another classic. Did you have a specific approach for this film? I know it's a comedy, but can you talk to us about the visual language of Christmas Vacation?
Well, first of all, it was clear from my first reading of the screenplay and chatting with John, it was clear that just as Dennis the Menace had been an iconic time capsule where all of our childhoods could be summarized in 1 hour and a half period, the same essentially of Christmas Vacation. Who among us has no recollection of our Christmas experience through the years? And whose dad did not try to outdo the neighbors, maybe once before they learned a lesson, outdo the neighbors in a front yard display or the tree decor? And you know, and then, of course, probably the most quintessential part of that drama is when you have guests, whether they are the neighbors across the street that you don't know too well, but now they're visiting, and their deportment, shall we say, is less than satisfactory after the fifth drink, but or you know, the arrival of relatives that you have not seen for a very long time, and their kids who perhaps you've never met. So all this is kind of a recipe, it seems to me, for things to mess up and go wrong. And that's what John was writing about. That's what he created in the film Christmas Vacation.
And that's definitely what you captured. That's absolutely what we saw, the mayhem of the meeting of the groups of the different people. We need to talk about Clark. Why is he so obsessed with having the best Christmas this year?
I think that you could, if you wanted to really do a little armchair psychoanalysis, you could say that he's under pressure at work. He's terribly concerned about whether he's going to get the annual bonus, which he has already spent in the form of a down payment on the swimming pool in the backyard. And in general, things really aren't going that well for him. And so the pressure is on. And I think that he is probably, to a certain extent, when he's out on the trek to obtain the family tree, no doubt the biggest ever, and with dreams of glory, he's doing that, I think, because he's got to have at least one win. He's got to have one victory to make this holiday go right for him.
And the movie starts with a road rage incident as the family drives to get their Christmas tree, which really encapsulates the state of mind that he's in. In our episode, we discussed how telling this moment is and how it seems like Clark has this inner rage that he's trying to tamp down and focus on Christmas. Are we reading too far into this, or does Clark have some things that he has to work through?
The amazing thing that John Hughes achieved in the script and that Chevy made work with his performance was the fact that and we see it all the time in the newspaper, media, online, people behaving very badly to the point where you say, "Ooh, God, she said that in a McDonald's." I mean, you know, it's just like you can't countenance it, and you really can't understand it. But then, if you think a little more, if you become a little more circumspect, you might remember something that you said or did in public that was not the way you would want it to have been done. And I think for Clark, that's a road rage incident that in a John Hughes comedy will not get anybody killed. There are any number of beats in that scene, taunting rednecks in a truck. This is not a good idea. None of us want to fall prey to what happens next. Then a very, very poor driving decision, such that the car gets stuck under a logging truck, only to then swerve off the road, bash through a gigantic pile of newly plowed snow, and come to rest. All in a day's work for the Griswold family.
Don't want that to happen in real life.
In fact, I think it could happen in real life. That's how close to the edge John Hughes could play things. And I think if you look at, and he did so many wildly successful films, not only at the box office, but as chronicle of the American way of life, how people behave. And what's important to them. And ultimately, when Clark gets foolishly locked in the attic and is freezing up there trying to figure out how to rejoin the family who've gone off shopping, when he threads up that old home movie of the family in years past, and he's sitting there huddled up in his grandma's mink stole, whatever. I don't know what the source of the clothing item was, but the point is, that's what he wanted. He wanted a family Christmas, and by golly, he was going to have one, or know the reason why. Of course, there's that great moment in the film where we've been living the dream, and this is before the in-laws arrive. And then you hear the doorbell really ringing normally and then becoming more and more distorted and scary until finally the front door opens and there they are, the family, the in-laws.
Yes, it's such a great visual. And you can tell that inside Clark is just so nervous about Christmas going well, and also this Christmas bonus that he seems obsessed with. And in watching the film 30 years later, we were very struck by how large this expectation for this bonus was. a bonus that's enough to build a pool. Was this kind of Christmas bonus a common 80s trope, or did this say something about the economy at the time?
Well, I think what it says is that, and I remember this as a kid, that people tended to work for long periods of time. Once they got established at a firm, they tended to, well, as of that very moment, they had achieved a big part of the American dream: a good job, nice house in the suburbs, family, and you might even have a country club membership thrown in somewhere. So I think that once they found that niche, they tended not to shop around for a better deal. There was no OBO going on. It was, you got a good deal here, hold on to it. And so I think people would be more prone to put up with a cranky boss. They would be more wrapped up in that whole scene. So I think that part of the John Hughes rendering of America is actually fair and fairly accurate. Although to extract the maximum number of laughs, it becomes very ironic and you know, it becomes funny, laughable.
Yes, that's fascinating. I hadn't thought about how our idea of job stability has changed as a society, or our idea of how we look at job security. That has totally shifted.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Now, Cousin Eddie is clearly Clark's least favorite of the guests. But in the end, he kidnaps the boss, which leads to Clark getting his bonus. Why do you think that Cousin Eddie had the guts to do what Clark never could?
Well, I think two things. Number one, he felt there was a wrong, something very wrong, that he could fix. He would punish the individual who was screwing up the family Christmas. However, he was also just dumb enough to make a very ill-advised move that in the non-John Hughes world would have landed him in jail. So, you know, it's kind of the two sides of, I mean, Cousin Eddie, that's a character that so many people, when the conversation shifts to Christmas Vacation, so many people that I have talked to over the years, they all love Cousin Eddie. I don't know if it's because everyone has a dysfunctional but lovable relative or neighbor, but it really does seems to resonate with them.
Yes. Cousin Eddie stresses me out, but for sure, it's a memorable character.
Yeah.
Speaking of how much of the holiday stress that Clark faces in the movie is due to his family visiting? You mentioned this up top a little bit. Do you feel it's the family, or do you think it's more self-inflicted?
Well, I would say a bit of both. The self-inflicted part comes from high expectations, unrealistically high expectations. Obviously, an overbearing mother-in-law is not news to somebody who's been married for a number of years. How could that be a surprise? The relatively marginal IQ of cousin Eddie, if you ever even exchanged a postcard with the guy, or, you know, you would have a sense over the years that he's not really dealing with a full deck. He's not the brightest bulb in the flashlight. And so that aspect was highly manipulated. That being said, there are things that, as you know, there are things that happen when you get a lot of friends and or family packed into a small group. And in essence, they are required to have fun. You know, Clark has outdone himself. The house, they're putting out a big spread, a delightful holiday meal, which turns out to be an overcooked turkey. But yeah, but the intent was very, very good. Now, we've all been there. So the question is, how does one cope with it? They kind of hold it together until the squirrel incident comes to pass. And now you kind of have panic and overpopulated living rooms and then that devolves into really slapstick comedy. Dogs jumping onto tables, all the dinner guests huddling in a corner, having run up and down the stairs frantically. It's, I don't know how I would say it. It's a highly manipulated scene, but it's got a lot of elements of truth that all of us can identify with. And I believe that is what is the underpinning of a lot of John's work. He really nailed it. He really understood the Midwestern spirit. He knew how people worked. He knew how families worked.
The squirrel incident, I can't believe we didn't speak about that on our episode and put that up on the board. So we're already learning so much, Tom. So, I mean, much of the movie is really action packed, like you said, and the neighbors, Todd and Margot, they really bear the brunt of the disaster. What do they represent for moviegoers at the time? Were they just stand-ins for wealthy snobs, or was it some kind of comment on the alternative to the typical nuclear family?
Well, it's good that you select Todd and Margot, because at the time, they personified a kind of uber hip person who, you know, they're the significantly undecorated, very Spartan, yet, as we know, very expensive interior of their house. There was a smug self-assurance to them that I certainly could understand at the time, because that was happening. Nouveau riche people had a smug self-assurance that they imagined that they could buy with their paychecks or their inheritance or whatever. But one of the greatest scenes is when there's the first encounter with Todd and Margot, and that shot of Chevy, the garage door rises, and out he comes with the chainsaw with a mask. It was kind of like a Freddy Krueger moment.
Yes.
Right there on the Warner back lot. But yeah, I love the moment when she knocks him backward over the sofa after they've been blinded by the,
yes,
the glowing, the blazing inferno that is the Griswold house with all the lights.
That sequence is so funny. All of the glaring light that pours in and totally blinds them. It's hilarious. Now, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we always like to ask our guest experts this one question. At the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept that you think is to blame for the disastrous events in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, who or what would that be?
I would say Clark's assumptions were to blame. I kind of alluded to it earlier in that we've all had social occasions that don't unfold as we had wished. And this could happen with close family. It could easily happen with the neighbors who just moved in across the street and turn out to be awful people. But it had Clark been a little more at ease about this huge production that he is staging, that's going to have the biggest tree, that's going to have the most wonderful food, and all of his family are going to be brought together in this loving circle of light. That, I mean, so it's over expectation, and isn't that right? She agrees. I find
you can't
that she
see
often...
there's a cat who has just jumped on Tom's lap.
Anyway, assumptions and sort of a departure from reality. To expect too much.
It's a good reminder during this holiday season for all of us to remember to manage our expectations.
That's exactly right. It's a great managing expectations. Very good way of summing it up.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, for speaking to us and for giving us this holiday classic.
I can honestly say it was a pleasure talking to you, and it was a great pleasure shooting that movie. Glad it's out there.
If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out our show notes for a link or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned, because next week we'll be discussing the origins of werewolf folklore. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.